1260 AM Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. Indicating that the U.S. is involved in intense negotiations to extend the ceasefire beyond today to get more hostages out of Gaza and more aid into that narrow strip of bombed out land, White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby today.
I know one of the first questions I'm going to get is, what are the chances of an extension? And I just can't tell you that right now, except to tell you that we're working at it literally by the hour to see if we can get this seventh day turned into an eighth and ninth and tenth and beyond.
Today, the House debates whether to make New York Republican George Santos the sixth member of that body to be expelled in its history. Santos saying he shouldn't be tossed on no conviction. Tomorrow, the House could vote. He's willing to end his months-long one-man blockade of military promotions over Pentagon abortion policy, says Senator Tommy Tuberville, Alabama Republican. Today's inflation report from the Commerce Department said prices were unchanged from September to October. This is ABC News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest national climate assessment warns extreme drought will become more common in the Mississippi River Basin, and so will isolated heavy rains and flooding. Temperatures in the contiguous United States have risen by 2.5 degrees since 1970. The good news is experts say it's not too late to slow the effects. Donald Trump may have the steeper path to victory than President Biden if he's the Republican nominee next year. Pollster Charles Franklin says Trump's support appears to be wider than it is deep.
When we look at likely voters, Biden does a bit better. When we look at the less than likely voters, Trump does better with them.
Franklin spoke at a forum at Marquette University yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Drivers this morning across Wisconsin found spots with difficult travel as freezing fog and water from melting snow froze overnight on roadways. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation listed nearly every road in the state as having slippery stretches on its 511 service this morning. If you bought a fruit cup or fruit tray from Quick Trip, check your fridge as the company is issuing a voluntary recall of its fresh fruit products containing cantaloupe. The recall is part of a nationwide outbreak of salmonella from cantaloupe, according to the FDA. No one has reported getting sick for the products sold by Quick Trip. The affected products have sell-by dates of November 4th through December 3rd. The DOT says deer-related crashes in northwestern Wisconsin are down this year, nearly 400 from a year ago. About 2,000 crashes have been reported this year so far. However, this year, there have been 4 fatal crashes as opposed to 1 last year. The State Patrol says that if you see a deer in the road, don't swerve, as it is safer to hit the deer rather than driving off of the roadway. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Tournament time in Madison. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NCAA Women's Volleyball Tournament getting underway tonight at the UW Fieldhouse. The Badgers, with a record of 26-3, take on Jackson State. It's been an exciting journey, says head coach Kelly Sheffield.
You know, our wins against Nebraska or Iowa, we can talk about the draw. We're certainly excited about the draw and being able to host here opening weekend. Talk about Jackson State, we can go a lot of different directions. So just a great time of year.
Baseball, Devin Williams named the National League's best relief pitcher of the year. The Brewers closer had 36 saves in 61 games this season. NFL, the Packers host the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football.
You know, there's not many quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes out there, and you combine him with guys like Travis Kelce. That's one of the best combinations in all of the National Football League.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. 18 tonight, under clear skies, northerly winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour.
high of 34. Tomorrow, cloudy. Tomorrow night, 21. A dusting of snow, Saturday night. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 41.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Okay.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide, Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Going right back to history in the making. Two appeals court decisions just came down. One of them I alluded to before, that an appeals court in Washington, D.C., mistakenly, negligently unsealed some documents that showed how much Scott Perry, the right-wing nut from Pennsylvania, was involved in the effort to overturn the election. There's one document that has him messaging one of the guys, Jeffrey Clark, remember him? He's a crooked, he was an environmental lawyer, and they're going to make him attorney general. And then he would say that Georgia's vote was corrupt and throw it in the House of Representatives. And the only thing that stopped it was that everybody in the Justice Department said they'd quit if Jeffrey Clark were put in. But there is a message from Scott Perry, who was apparently much closer in on this with Trump than we knew. So I just met with him, and you are it. You are the new attorney general. And in kind of fake humility, Jeffrey Clark said, "I question if I'm ready for the moment." The only thing that stopped it was when that was disclosed to the acting attorney general's deputy. They both said we'd quit and all the department will quit. And they knew they couldn't get away with it. But there's another appeals court decision that just came down that reinstated the gag order in the New York case that Letitia James brought. Remember, there was a gag order that Judge Engoron had put in saying that Trump could not disparage his clerk or the court personnel. And then it was stayed by an appellate court. He went up, and that appellate court stayed it so it can be considered by the full panel, which out there is four judges. And also Trump did not appeal the gag order in a normal way. He brought a lawsuit against Judge Engoron and asked for the gag order to be repealed. And that was the context. And they denied that today. It's a good thing they denied it, because there's an affidavit in the file. I see you in the lines. I'll get to you in a second. That this poor clerk, now she's just a clerk. I was a law clerk. Law clerk doesn't have the ability to decide anything. The judge says to the law clerk, here's how it's going to turn out. You write the case for me to edit, and it's going to be your research, but my decision. That's all they do. She was getting about 30 calls a day on her personal phone, 50 messages a day on LinkedIn, social media, and two personal email addresses she had. the voicemails of threats to this law clerk, the clerk, not the judge, the clerk alone, filled the transcript with 275 single-spaced pages, and half of them were anti-Semitic. This woman has no protection. She has to take the subway home at night. And yesterday, until the gag order is reinstated today, Trump is a very cruel guy. He said, she is a very disturbed and angry law clerk. That's what's fueling this roughly combined 100 messages of hate. Judge Engoron said, I will enforce this very severely now. If Trump keeps this up and does it, there are two things. First of all, I think he has to be held in a holding cell. I don't give a damn if he's running for president or not. He's a criminal and he's trying to get people killed. But the second thing that occurred to me is, you know, Mitt Romney is spending $5 million a year on security, $5 million. This clerk isn't paid anything that would let her hire any security of her own. If I were Engoron, I might do this. I'd say, get a quote from Complete Security for her. On the subway home, she goes out to lunch. She goes out with her buddies on Friday night for pizza or a date or dance or something. And make Trump pay the bill in advance. And if it's something like $2 million for the year, find him that to put it in escrow in the court and pay it out. And if he doesn't, you put a lien on his real estate and all of his assets. Something has got to stop or this guy is going to get somebody killed. We're going to the lines. Tom and McFarland, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tom?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. And, you know, it's one of the one appellate that made that mistake and the information about, you know, what the one representative said to Jeffrey Clark. I hope that that is not going to get swept underneath the rug and lost in the chaos that is Trump, and I have a feeling that it will. But I know that you have a lot of listeners who support Trump, and I know that there are a lot of people who, you know, voice their support for him. But with this revelation, I think it nails down the coffin that I don't care who you are, whether or not you are a high-ranking member of Congress or just some guy that lives here in McFarland with me. If you support Trump, you do not support the Constitution. You do not support the United States of America. I can't think, and I challenge them, find me one example within the history of the United States where a president, a sitting president, made a decision that was so egregiously in violation of the Constitution that an entire department threatened to quit. Not resign, quit, just walk out saying, no way, there's no way we can possibly do what you're asking us to do. Name one president other than Trump who has done anything remotely like that. Yet you go on to support this guy and put him back into office. No, I'm sorry, you do not support the United States. You support a dictator. And I cannot back you on any of that. Thank you.
Yeah, excellent call. Excellent call as always. Tom, I appreciate it very, very much. Yeah, I'll second that. In other words, this puts a lot of flesh on the skeleton. This adds a lot of details and context. Scott Perry, by the way, was much, much closer in on it with Trump than we realized. We knew he was in on it. He asked for pardon. But he could call Trump unannounced. He could go in and see him. And he was dedicated to overturning the peaceful transfer of power. And he's the one who introduced Jeffrey Clark to Trump. Trump didn't know him. Jeffrey Clark was an obscure environmental lawyer in a government agency. But Perry knew that he was loyal and we would do what he was told. Perry went to him and said, will you say that Georgia, will you send a letter if you're acting attorney general, a letter saying it's your conclusion that there was fraud in the Georgia vote and the Wisconsin vote and the Michigan vote and Pennsylvania vote, and you recommend that those electors not be accepted and that the Congress decide who the president is. Now, if the attorney general wrote that letter, if we had an honest Supreme Court, they might see through it. But the six tarantulas might not see through it. We would have another situation like we had in 1876 when Rutherford Hayes was made the president, even though he didn't have a majority even of the electoral votes. But that was, remember, that's 1876. The Civil War had ended in 1865, 11 years before. Abraham Lincoln, who is revered, had been assassinated. Rutherford Hayes was a colonel in the Union Army at Antietam. He was a veteran, and he was a liberal abolitionist Republican. Sam Tilden, who ran against him and beat him, was a Democrat. And the Democrats were linked back then with slavery and the Ku Klux Klan. And the Republican Party, which essentially ran the United States, was not going to turn right after, 11 years after Lincoln's assassination, and after Grant's presidency, two terms, we're not going to turn the election over, election between a colonel at Antietam, one of the great bloody battles of the Civil War, who saw combat in service of Lincoln and the Union, against what they saw as a Confederate. So they jiggered it, and they said it's in the House of Representatives, and they gave it to Rutherford Hayes. And there could have been another Civil War, except the South didn't have the arms. So they struck a devil's bargain. The devil's bargain was, okay, you can put Rutherford Hayes in as president, but you've got to withdraw federal troops from the South. Because in 1865, when Andrew Johnson became president after Lincoln was assassinated, the Ku Klux Klan was formed, and they were all former Confederate Army officers who went around murdering Black people. Murder him. Ulysses Grant, I think, was a very fine president as well as general. He sent federal troops down to repress the Klan and stop the murders. And that worked for 8 years till the end of his second term. And they were afraid that, of Tilden getting in. So they said, okay, if you let us put in Rutherford Hayes, we'll withdraw the federal troops. That was simply a license to murder Black people from 1876 till Jack Kennedy was president. Dwight Eisenhower did some very good things, but effectively till the 1960s. These clowns, these Trump clowns, use that as an example. And Perry, who was in on it with Trump, messaged Jeffrey Clark saying, you're the man, Trump likes you, you will be acting attorney general, it's been decided. Jeffrey Clark came back with this fake deal that goes, I do not know if I can live up to the moment, you know, this fake humility. Then they announced it to the Justice Department. The acting attorney general's deputy said, you do that, this guy's unqualified, he's going to lie about Georgia and the swing states. We're going to resign en masse, and you're going to have 100 people or more in the Justice Department do it. And if that happened politically, it would have been very, very hard for the six tarantulas to put the fix in. But that's how close, really, we came. And that was all disclosed by an inadvertent leak in the Court of Appeals. I got to wonder, I've never seen a Court of Appeals do stuff by accident. I wonder if a clerk didn't do that. I really wonder if a clerk did not do that. Coming up, the Senate Democrats cut subpoenas for Leonard Leo and Harlan Crow. Give me the background.
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan, Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County.
stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Methlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what, the Senate Democrats today voted to issue subpoenas to Harlan Crowe and Leonard Leo. And it's about time. Harlan Crowe and Leonard Leo are the people who paid off Clarence Thomas. Harlan Crowe, for decades, has cultivated Clarence Thomas, flown him on his private jet wherever he wants to go, luxury vacations, paid the prep school boarding school tuition for a family member of his, bought his mother's house, had a new roof put on, paid her money for it, and then she stays there free. His wife, Ginny Thomas, has been getting hundreds of thousands of dollars for consulting. Does the phone ever ring? Called consulting about what? They have bribed a Supreme Court justice. And that justice was the swing vote 5-4 on Citizens United, Shelby County, which got rid of the guts of the Voting Rights Act, Dobbs. Remember Dobbs? All these cases. He is a Russian justice, and he's not alone. Alito's the same way. Gorsuch is the same way. Everybody sits around and goes, oh, I wonder how the Supreme Court's going to vote on this one. Well, you have to look and see, how do you think Leonard Leo and Harlan Crowe want it to be voted? And that's how it's going to be voted. In Russia, how do you think Putin wants it to be voted? And that's how it's voted. People like Alexei Navalny and the Wall Street Journal guy can appeal to the appeal court in Russia. Wall Street Journal guy said, hey, look, I'm just a Wall Street Journal reporter. I wasn't reporting anything classified. I was just going around interviewing people. They've gotten a phone call before the hearing from Putin. He said, give him 10 more years. Alexei Navalny says, hey, I just came back here. You know, we're supposed to be a democracy. I disagree with Putin on some things. They're not feeding me. They tried to poison me. Let me out. Try to get a call from Putin, give him 10 more years. That is the Supreme Court we have. That is the Supreme Court we have. Clarence Thomas exercises no independent discretion. Gorsuch and Alito exercise none if it really matters to the people that have given the money. Now, Supreme Court just recently put an ethics code they say they'll voluntarily abide by. There are no requirements in the ethics code. It's a suggestion box. There's no discipline. There's no sanction for violating it. It can't be enforced. It just says, we think it is the better practice to do this. But there's no sanction, no enforcement. And in his filing, Clarence Thomas just disclosed this last year that he'd taken three trips that Harlan Crowe paid for on his personal airplane, three luxury trips. For 20 years, he hadn't disclosed a darn thing. And now it's these three trips, but he still isn't going to step down from any cases. This is a scam. This is a fake. We're being rolled. There are only two ways to remove Clarence Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch. One is by impeachment and conviction, just like a president. But to impeach a Supreme Court justice, it has to receive a majority of votes in the House of Representatives. The Speaker has to let it go to the floor. Do you think that Mike Johnson would let that go to the floor? Do you think if it did, that somehow it would get 218 votes when the Democrats only have 213? And then if it passed the House, and you know it wouldn't, and it goes to the Senate, it requires 67 Senate votes, 67. Chuck Schumer could put it on the floor. Chuck Schumer could put it on the floor and guarantee 51 votes. If Manchin and Sinema went along, and I don't know if they would, it still takes 16 more votes, 1-6. Where are they? When Trump blackmailed Zelensky, the only senator who went along with conviction was Mitt Romney. When the House impeached Trump again for January 6, it got Democratic votes and 8 Republican votes, but it needed 16 Republican votes. There is no way, given the present partisanship, that you're going to be able to impeach, that you're going to be able to impeach Clarence Thomas or any of them. There is another way. Indict him for bribery and send him to prison, all 3 of them. It's not clear, however, that he couldn't still continue to be a Supreme Court justice in prison, number one. Number two, Merrick Garland has shown very little guts. He finally appointed Jack Smith late, a year late. I do not think that he has the steel. I think Bobby Kennedy would have, but not this guy, had the spine to do that. He could appoint a special prosecutor. If the issues were reversed and these were 3 Democratic judges who'd taken money, I can assure you the Republican Attorney General would appoint a special prosecutor like a Jack Smith to insulate him and the president, in that case, presumably a Republican president, and that individual would convene a grand jury. And they get into all this. And there's an old adage that a grand jury would indict a ham sandwich. What do I mean by that? The grand jury indicts whoever the prosecutor wants them to indict, because when you're in front of the grand jury, the defendant isn't given notice, doesn't have a lawyer, and there's no exculpatory evidence given. And you can put in evidence by hearsay. You can have a cop get on the stand and say what somebody told him. Indict a ham sandwich. In this case, we have clear evidence that he took 3 more trips last week. And so the Senate's finally showing a little moxie. And all the Republicans are saying, no, you can't do that. We'll go after Sotomayor. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's not going to go anywhere. But you can't issue a subpoena from a committee without the approval of a majority of the Senate and the House. And these guys have blown off all requests to voluntarily show their communications with these Supreme Court justices and how much money they gave them. And now the Senate, I'm glad to see, has subpoenaed them. If they blow that off, it's a felony. And if they lie, it's a felony. So stay tuned. This is a very, very, very significant event. Very significant event. Coming up, a lot of news. A lot of weather, and I'll tell you what, Jack Smith, that marvelous Jack Smith, has been threatened physically by a Republican congressman.
In touch with the City of Lakes, in touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A leadership race is underway in the Wisconsin State Senate. Democratic Minority Leader Melissa Agard is leaving the legislature to run for Dane County Executive. Senators Jeff Smith and Diane Hesselbein tell Up North News they plan to run for the post. The Journal Sentinel reports Senator Kelda Royce is also interested. There could be a vote as early as next week. Five Wisconsin companies are getting $50,000 each to help expand processing, marketing, and distribution. The Buy Local, Buy Wisconsin grants come from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Fitchburg's Apple Garden will expand fresh fruit offerings. Lovett Foods of Green Bay will get help selling new artisanal cheeses. Companies in Mequon, Manitowoc, and Mayville are also getting grants. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Drivers this morning across Wisconsin found spots with difficult travel as freezing fog and water from melting snow froze overnight on roadways. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation listed nearly every road in the state as having slippery stretches on its 511 service this morning. The DOT says deer-related crashes in northwestern Wisconsin are down this year, nearly 400 from a year ago. About 2,000 crashes have been reported this year so far. However, this year, there have been four fatal crashes as opposed to one last year. The State Patrol says that if you see a deer in the road, don't swerve, as it is safer to hit the deer rather than driving off of the roadway. Xcel Energy is announcing 28 layoffs in Eau Claire between February and March of next year. All of the positions being eliminated are service positions, including billing representatives and specialists. The layoffs are part of a four-state plan to let go of 68 workers as part of streamlining Xcel's operations. The company says it expects to have other full-time opportunities for the affected employees. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Tournament time in Madison. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NCAA Women's Volleyball Tournament getting underway tonight at the UW Fieldhouse. The Badgers, with a record of 26-3, take on Jackson State. It's been an exciting journey, says head coach Kelly Sheffield.
You know, our wins against Nebraska or Iowa, we can talk about the draw. We're certainly excited about the draw and being able to host here opening weekend. Talk about Jackson State, we can go a lot of different directions. So just a great time of year.
Baseball, Devin Williams named the National League's best relief pitcher of the year. The Brewers closer had 36 saves in 61 games this season. NFL, the Packers host the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football.
You know, there's not many quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes out there, and you combine him with guys like Travis Kelce. That's one of the best combinations in all of the National Football League.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast. 18 tonight, under clear skies, northerly winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 34 tomorrow, cloudy tomorrow night, 21. A dusting of snow Saturday night. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 39.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station, UK.
Welcome back to Matt Finderick. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this business of threatening people and threatening them with physical harm is percolating down from Donald Trump. Congressman Clay Higgins, a Republican from Louisiana, who's a real thug. He has a law enforcement background, but he also is a bully, a nasty, threatening guy. Just threatened Jack Smith, prosecutor in Tanya Chutkan's court against Donald Trump. Higgins said that, quote, Jack Smith, his days are numbered. American patriots are not going to stand idly by. Now, let me tell you something. I would prosecute that as a threat of bodily harm to a federal prosecutor. It's a felony. Higgins has gotten away with murder. Let me tell you what he said in the past. In this particular comment, by the way, saying that Jack Smith, your days are numbered. American patriots are not going to sit idly by, stand idly by. There's a woman, she's an actress named Leah Black. She was the former star of The Real Housewives of Miami. She put it the best. She said, quote, it sounds like a thug mob threat to me. Sounds like a thug mob threat to me. It sounds like it to me, too. A few weeks ago, Clay Higgins threatened Christopher Wray, head of the FBI. He said, quote, your day is coming, end quote. In May, there was a Medicare activist that showed up some event, and Clay Higgins laid hands on him and ejected him from a press conference. He laid hands on him. That is assault and battery. That can be either a misdemeanor or a felony, depending on the circumstances. It was suggested that he be prosecuted, and he wasn't. I think if this thug does not get reined in, this is my own view of this, this poison that's dripped down from Trump about threatening folks and all that has got to be addressed. And with Clay Higgins, you don't have all of the encumbrance of somebody who is president, somebody's running for president again, threatening clerks and all this, gag orders. You don't have any of that. None of this implicates a gag order at all. If you threaten somebody with bodily harm, and it's a crime, you should be arrested. What I would do, and it could be the U.S. attorney down in New Orleans, and it also could be a U.S. attorney in Washington, charge him. You don't need a grand jury either, by the way. Charge him with a felony for threatening a federal officer. Have him booked. Have him released on bail. The judge, as a condition of bail, says you can't threaten anybody. Go to a jury and put him in jail. Put him in jail. He will get somebody killed. Go to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. Gene, what's in your mind today?
My impression of this guy is he's unhinged, and he's like a bull in a china closet. I mean, the guy doesn't think he's just full of violence and hate, and I don't know who in the devil could put that guy in office. I mean, half those people need to go. They're dangerous, and unfortunately, we're watching this show, and it's not a clown show at all. It's a very disturbing show, and I hope people really got to pay attention here to these Republicans because they are unhinged. And I'm glad to see that Crow and the other guy are going to be subpoenaed because we need to start checking into all these big money groups that are giving us these really bad people, you know, that are supposed to be representing us, and we can't fight back because we're not wealthy and we can't have a lot of dark money thrown around. So I hope people pay attention because this is so important. Thank you, Matt, for all you do. Outstanding show as usual. Thank you very much. You have a good evening. Bye.
Thank you very much, Gene. Same to you. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, Detroit, Michigan. Thanks for calling. Andrew, what's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, wonderful show as always. I'm wondering where this, each house has a sergeant of arms, do they not? Where is that? Where is Hakeem not calling on the sergeant at arms or the Capitol Police. This is ridiculous. If the roles were reversed, you don't think the Republicans would be shutting up about such stuff? I mean, that's my problem with the Democrats. I've always been a Democrat, always will be, but God, sometimes they are spineless. Thanks, Matt. Have a good day.
Thanks for calling. I agree 100%. Stay on the lines. I'll take you in order. Joe and Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Joe?
I echo the sentiments of the other callers. It is really a terrific show with a lot of good information. And as always, a thanks to all of your callers who are just always provide so much information and perspective. I find it so helpful and useful. I wanted to talk just briefly, more than briefly, Matt, about a headline that was in the Washington Post today. It was not a headline. It was an opinion piece. The headline of the opinion piece was this: a Trump dictatorship is increasingly inevitable. We should stop pretending. So this man is Robert Kagan. He's been a journalist and writer about matters for a long time. He comes from a more conservative background. And his title is, "A Trump Dictatorship is Increasingly Inevitable. We Should Stop Pretending." And he speaks to kind of the way in which Trump has really rolled up a lot of things, and we are rolling toward election time, Super Tuesday and all, and there's nothing really within the Republican Party that suggests, aside from the efforts to try to fund Nikki Haley, that the Republicans are sort of aware of what is going on and providing any back to this. I remember when Trump was running, and we were all just sort of incredulous and thought, well, he'll never win. Well, he did win. You know, one could argue that he didn't win the popular vote, but so what? He won the presidency. And I think that what this brings to mind is your expression, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, because Trump has made quite clear that if he gets back in office, and it's increasingly likely that he could get back in office, that it's Katie bar the door. I mean, he is quite clear that he's going to be going after John Kelly. He's going after Mike Milley. He's going after journalists. Insurrection Act will be put into place if anybody's arguing about it. And so I guess what I it's very good to be informed, and obviously we can work very hard to ensure that this doesn't happen. But man, I would commend this article to your listeners. There's just a lot in it to chew on in terms of what might be ahead, and the lack of sort of taking it seriously, what is going on. Anyway, I'd be curious to hear your reactions to my thoughts. And as always, I appreciate your show so much. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Excellent call. Yeah, I'll respond right now, and then I'm going to get to the other two callers right now. But excellent call. I will say this. Journalists sometimes will put things, especially in headlines, as an alarmist issue. The recent polls all show that among likely voters, Biden beats Trump. Among all voters, Trump, by a small margin, beats Biden. Now, what does that mean? That means get out the vote is critical for Trump. When you are a pollster and you call someone, do you intend to vote? No. Have you voted in the last 5 years? No. Most polls will then hang up. But when a pollster continues to talk and you have those kinds of folks, Trump does slightly better. That's number one. But so, and likely voters is really the ball game in most elections. Secondly, objectively speaking, Joe Biden has done a superb job, foreign policy, domestic, and so forth. And the fact also is that Trump is roughly the same age and has more obvious signs of dementia. Biden doesn't have signs of dementia. He stutters and he's a deliberate guy. But Trump is flailing around and salty and all that. I believe, Joe, when push comes to shove, Biden's going to win. Fascism does creep in on little cat's feet. Trump is threatening it. But we're America. We're not Germany in the 1930s. But excellent call. Thank you. Bob and Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Bob?
Well, I'm thinking when you mentioned Perry and Hutchins, how about Comer? Didn't Comer refuse to respond to subpoena, and now he's trying to subpoena Hunter Biden? Isn't that sweet? We got
right, Jim Jordan.
Line up. We got to line up.
Right, Jim Jordan did the same thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's a long list. long list, and they're all the obvious ones, Holly, you know, whatever. But why aren't we investigating them? At least the Senate could investigate the House people, or is that too hot to handle? Maybe Schumer doesn't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. But Merrick Garland doesn't either. But a special prosecutor could be appointed to go after all these corrupt congressmen. And just imagine, you get a few of those there, and the Democrats are back in charge.
Well, good call. Here's the deal on that. It's sort of like honor among thieves. People didn't issue subpoenas to congressmen. They asked them to do it voluntarily, and they said no. If this were reversed, and if this were the Republicans against us and we were doing this stuff, they would have issued a subpoena. And if you blow off a subpoena, that's a felony. You can take a look at people who that happened to. I mean, Steve Bannon. There are a couple of others. So we haven't played hardball. One of the previous callers said that he used the word spineless. That may be a little too far, but we do not play by the same rules as the Republicans. That's one of the reasons I like being a Democrat. But on the other hand, sometimes Franklin Roosevelt knew how to put on the gloves. So did Jack Kennedy. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. Wisco Paul, what's in your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. As always, great callers. Before I get into my subject here, the media doesn't do a good enough job talking about all the lunatic things Trump is talking about. They need to talk about it more, because God forbid if this guy would ever come to power again. But my quick question is today, and I'm getting off the reservation here a little bit. When I was down against Ag 10, I make no bones about it, I was always a union member, private sector union member. It never made any sense to me, and it's okay. I mean, the police and the fire were exempted from Ag 10, but everybody else had to adhere by that ruling, and then the Supreme Court stuck up for that. And it's coming to light that the unions are going to sue or have a Supreme Court investigate this. How could this be right? And I would think the Supreme Court would say, hey, Act 10 needs to be struck down. It's ridiculous. Because how can you exempt two people and then make everybody else, including the UW nurses and everybody else, adhere to that stupid ruling? So I hope I said that right, Matt. Thanks.
Yeah, no, you did. And I thought the same thing. It was a Republican Supreme Court that upheld it. They exempted police and fire because they had endorsed Scott Walker. That was a quid pro quo. Number two, police and fire are largely male. 80% of school teachers are women, and nurses overwhelmingly are women. They figured they could get away with it. I think it was wrong, but I'm with you 100% on that one. Thanks a lot. Howard of Oak Creek, my friend. Thanks for calling, Howard. What's in your mind today?
Yes, hi. Yeah, on the fraud case, will they confiscate the Trump airplane, that jet that he loves? That would really start off, wouldn't it?
It would, but I'll tell you what, if they start confiscating his properties like Mar-a-Lago and the property on Fifth Avenue in New York, that'll get to him too. That's a good question. This guy, Trump, has a lot of what I would call vanity assets. You know, the airplane. I mean, does he need an airplane? He could lease an airplane. You could go down to the airport and lease an airplane. These are vanity assets. He's using them to campaign for president. But Engoron is a tough cookie. And Engoron, now that the gag order is reinstated, if he screws around, Katie bar the door, I think that is an excellent, excellent suggestion. Thank you for calling. Call more often. Coming up, Marjorie Taylor Greene put in a privilege resolution to impeach a cabinet member. Guess who?
That'll be bone in the blood of a nation. Blood is the rose of mysterious union. Dead blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles.
Your
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, it's Amanda. And a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is that they're so easy for the holidays. They're warm and flavorful. It's always a crowd pleaser. When I put down a nugget tray, everyone is happy.
Hey, this is Brian, and the little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is the joy that it brings to me and everybody around me during the holidays. They're warm, juicy, and delicious.
Cater the holidays with Chick-fil-A today. Available on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene, to her old tricks, Marjorie Taylor Greene, here's what she's done. She put in a privileged resolution. A privileged resolution is something that they have to vote on in 48 hours. Usually it's party line. So if you put it in and you put it in as a privileged resolution in your minority party, it ain't going anywhere. And if the majority party and you didn't go through the speaker and the committees, it's not going anywhere either. She has put in a privileged resolution to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas, the head of Homeland Security, because she has objections to our immigration policy. Well, let me tell you something. First of all, I have objections to our immigration policy. They don't mirror what hers are, but there's no question that it's broken and something has to be done. I have ideas on that. But secondly, Alejandro Mayorkas doesn't set that kind of policy. Joe Biden sets that kind of policy, and Alejandro Mayorkas puts it into effect, executes that policy. Remember, they already voted to reduce to $1 a year his pay, Lloyd Austin's pay, Pete Buttigieg's pay, the pay of most of the other cabinet members except Secretary of Treasury and the Secretary of State, even Merrick Garland's pay. It didn't do any good because it goes to the Senate and it gets buried. Schumer's not going to take it up. But they have continuously attacked Biden's cabinet continuously to try to demoralize them. This isn't American. This isn't the way you do it. The other thing is most Republicans in the House won't vote to impeach anyone if it doesn't go through a committee that's charged with examining it and doing it and listing the high crimes and misdemeanors. So having some flake, and they all know she's a flake, just put in a privilege resolution forcing them to vote on it, there is a way to get rid of it. It's called tabling. Somebody get up on his hind legs and say, I move to table it, send it to committee. And they say second, and a majority sends it to committee, including Republicans. And it never sees the light of day, but this is what she's doing. But she did something worse. Well, she's done a lot worse, but I mean, something that just now happened. She posted, retweeted on X, a Russian propaganda about Ukraine. Now, this is from a site that is known to be a Russian site. In the past, the CIA knows about it. All congressmen have been briefed on it. You shouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, for instance. In the past, they put on a post that said that Bill Gates has manufactured a vaccine with surveillance capability. So if you get vaccinated against COVID, you can't be sure it wasn't Bill Gates's. And it puts, I don't know, I mean, your little cameras are gremlins in you. Some people believe that stuff. Well, the same site just put in about Zelensky and some other people in his government and just attributed to them what Putin and the oligarchs are doing with respect to corruption, saying they had massive yachts that were worth hundreds of millions of dollars and all this. It's not only false, but they mirrored what Putin is doing. And she reposted that. Now, you know, really enough's enough. I mean, do you think that she just didn't know? Do you think that she was just misled? I don't think so. I think she did it on purpose. And the idea is the big lie. And this is something that psychologists noted starting in Nazi Germany. It goes something like this. If you tell a small lie, if somebody says, was that you in the restaurant? And you say no, and it really was. All right. I mean, you have no character for doing that, but okay. But if you tell a really big lie, and with the Nazis, it was defaming a whole class of people by religion or race, that they had done this. They said that Poland attacked Germany in 1939, and Germany had to defend itself. That's what Putin did about Ukraine, and they had to defend themselves. That's the kind of big lie. If you repeat it every day, a number of people will believe it. That is, right now, Trump's modus operandi. He gives the big lie. For instance, one of his defenses in Jack Smith's case is that there was collusion with Russia, Hezbollah, and Iran in presidential elections, but it's the 2020 election and they were doing it for Biden. In fact, there was collusion in 2016 and 2020 by Russia for Trump. See, in other words, you reverse what is true about you, lie about your opponent and repeat it, and it bakes into a certain number of people. That's Trump's base. It's one of the reasons I think, I'm pretty confident Joe Biden's gonna win. I do not think independents, I don't think that people that are actually paying attention to any of this are going to fall for it. But Marjorie Taylor Greene is a crude sort of Trumpian figure in the sense that she takes a site that is known by our intelligence community, our State Department, having briefed everybody in Congress, that this is a propaganda site by Russia. Propaganda site by Russia. And she retweets it or likes it or reposts it in whatever medium she's putting it. Now, at some point, it's in Georgia, her seat. I think it's Northwest Georgia. It's very conservative. But isn't there at least another Republican there? Maybe a military veteran? Maybe somebody who believes in our democracy? Maybe somebody who believes in America? Believes in paying our armed forces, maybe. That would be nice. Run against her in a primary. What is her hold on that district? Most of the data shows she gets very few contributions from it, but massive contributions from around the country. Well, coming next, weather, news, and great show, Devil's Advocate. And a great show today. Great callers as always. Matt Flynn, direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What's going on, Wisconsin? It's Kristen Bry checking in to say hi and let you know, all things considered, my maternity leave's going great. Thank you for tuning in to As Goes Wisconsin on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app while I'm gone. Can't wait to be back to share mommy stories and get back to breaking down the never-boring Wisconsin news cycle.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News,